When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, welcome back inside the Sports Cage. It's Barney Shinkaruk and Derek Bidwell on this Monday. Alan Lies got everything going down on the keys over there. And yeah, it's time to talk some NHL hockey. We're going out on the Western Pizza guest hotline again with our man that's he's owed $25 from Alice Cooper.
Still owes him.
If you heard this last week, at $25, Alice Cooper, if you're listening, you owe this man. Eric Francis, I can sleep a little bit better as of last night because the Dallas Stars advanced. I didn't think that was going to happen.
I told you not to worry. Okay. It was pretty close. I get it. But it was, and it's funny that they're actually favored now, for whatever that's worth, to beat Colorado. I'm not so as bullish as I am on Dallas as well. I'm like, wow, that's quite a statement for someone to think that they're better than Colorado, who only won it 2 years ago. So, yeah, gutsy effort. And as we talked about early on with Dallas, the changing of the guard has been going on for a couple of years. Like, on any given night, you can have those, you know, proven veterans come through for you. Pavelski, Ben Seguin, or now the new guard. And I've been high on this Wyatt Johnson all year long. This is a 40-50 goal scorer in the National Hockey League moving forward. He had 30-plus this year. He's only 20 years of age. You know, was an absolute stud in the Ontario Hockey League, but probably didn't get drafted as high as he would have because COVID canceled his season basically the year he was drafted. So he probably should have gone higher, and now we're seeing why. Like, this guy, I don't know how many games you watched, but every game I watched, he was either the best player on the ice or one of the top two or three. That's saying something for a 20-year-old.
Regina Pat fans that watched the game last night, I'm watching it with my 11-year-old daughter and soon-to-be 13-year-old son, and we're watching Sam Steele, who is an absolute weapon for the Regina Pats offensively.
Yeah.
When he was here. Now he is in such a defensive role for Dallas. I thought Sam Steele last night kind of had a bit of a coming out party for people, and it was on the defensive side of the puck, and I thought Ottinger looked really good. Mind you, the defense did clear out, you know, in front of the net, but I thought Ottinger looked really, really good last night as well.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Ottinger's, you know, going to be the key moving forward for sure. I mean, I do think that's where the Stars certainly have the edge in this matchup with Colorado, the better goaltender, at least should be. And, you know, that's why, again, the reason why I'm so bullish on Dallas is they're just so damn deep that when trade deadline came, they were just fitting in niche parts. And one of those is Chris Tanev. And, you know, that's someone that, you know, in Western Canada, we've seen this guy up close here in Calgary. And, like, this is a defensive stud, like one of the top, you know, who knows what, top 10, 20 defensive defensemen in the league. And, man, he's playing a ton of ice time. He is, you know, so key in shutting it down. When that game was on the line, they're clinging to a one-goal lead. Who's out there more than anybody else? Chris Tanev. And going to Sam Steele, like, how many times have we seen this, guys, where guys, look, most guys in the National Hockey League put up stupid numbers in junior or college or whatever. It's pretty rare when they don't. But guys have to find where they fit. Like, Sam Steele was kind of swimming around, unsure if he was going to even have a lengthy NHL career, but he figured it out that he could do it defensively. And that speed of his is ridiculous. And it's on full display as him as a defensive forward. I'm with you, man. This guy, again, these are little roles that these guys are playing, but they're doing it so well. Each guy's bought in to exactly what their role is, and Sam Steele's kind of a perfect illustration of that.
Yeah, the teams that their players that buy in, of course, are the ones that usually go a little longer. Great to hear Sam Steele's name announced in that broadcast, and we'll hear a lot more Sam Steele mentions, I think, as we move forward. Okay, Eric, your buddy, your boy here, Bidzy in Saskatoon. By the way, Alice Cooper, if you're listening, I know he's listening right now in Arizona. That $25 that you owe Eric Francis, he did mention that it is American. He doesn't want Canadian. It's American that you owe him, Alice Cooper.
Because he's still paying off the Polynesian room he stayed in last week when he was in Edmonton.
The Rome room!
He was in the jungle room. But listen, it's not $25 American anymore, because this was like 25 years ago, boys. I'm putting interest on this. Like, this thing's got to be up close to around 100 now. And I haven't really done the math on it yet. I'm just waiting for him to call me back, and then I'll figure it out.
Okay, Alice, you're listening. Let's go. Let's put this to bed. Actually, you know what? Let's keep it going until the end of the NHL playoffs. Then let's put it to bed. I think we can milk this for a little more. Okay, and now, Eric, let's look back and then let's look ahead. So tonight's game on the schedule is the Bruins taking on the Panthers. But the Bruins advanced, of course, because they took out the Toronto Maple Leafs. I have to give you credit. You said Toronto will not get past the Bruins, because I know what's going to happen. The Leafs are setting up their fans for the ultimate heartbreak. They're going to be there right to the end, right to Game 7, and then they won't get it done, just to crush their spirits even more. You called it. So let's look back at that quickly, how it all finished, and then you can talk a little bit about the Bruins' next matchup.
Well, look, I'm not exactly Kreskin to figure out, you know, that the Leafs weren't going to win the first round series. I mean, that might be the easiest prediction in sports. But what my point was, you know, they find new ways to break your heart. And all of our Leaf fans, you guys have buddies who are Leaf fans, and you try to help them, but sometimes people in this world just can't be helped. And you try to explain to them, look, it's going to end. This story can have as many different twists and turns as you want to add, or as the team wants to add. But the reality is, at the end, it's always going to end the same way. And you got to give them credit. I know that's kind of the big narrative from the series is, you know what, they made a series of it. They won two games with their back against the wall without Austin Matthews. It was gutsy in a lot of ways. But enough is enough. And, you know, with Brad Treliving running this thing, I really do believe that now is going to be the time where you're going to see they have to finally break up the band, right? That core four has gotten absolutely nothing done in its tenure with the team. Mitch Marner's got 1 year left. Clearly, they're going to have to talk him out of that and start working with him to say, where would you sign for 8 years? We'll trade you there. Treliving did the exact same thing with Matthew Tkachuk, although it was flipped around where Tkachuk said, I'm not coming back. How are we going to handle this? And so they started working on, how could we get you somewhere where you're going to sign 8 years and we get the maximum return? So those wheels are probably going to be in motion by the end of the week. And I'm not saying the trade's going to be imminent, but clearly this summer they've got to do something. And Marner's the logical guy to make it, to open up some cap space and help this team move on. I also think you're going to see probably Brendan Shanahan. I think his time with the Leafs is up, is my guess. Reading the tea leaves on what's going on at MLSE. So there'll be some significant changes, and I think we all agree it's pretty much time.
To your second point, Bidzy, it's funny that not a lot of people are giving Boston, that I'm listening to, giving Boston a shot against Florida here.
Oh, I totally agree. That seems to be the narrative. But this is going to be a hell of a series. And listen, I'm just working on a piece right now for Sportsnet on, I think it's so incredible that you're going to have a matchup here where the two leaders of the team, Tkachuk and Marchand, are, and don't get me wrong, there's other leaders on both teams, but I would say those are the two faces of their respective teams. And think about where those guys were 3 or 4 years ago. they were both known for just being disturbers. You know, they
agitators.
Loved to kind of play on the edge and agitators, you know. But they weren't known as superstars. Like, now both of them are straight-up superstars. They're both known to be able to get under the other team's skin. But they've really done a good job. I got to give them both credit. You know, changing the narrative on who they are and what kind of players they are. They're both bona fide 100-point superstars in the National Hockey League, leaders wearing letters on their chest. And I think those are the two guys you're going to be watching more than anybody else in this series. You know, whether they're being picked on or they're picking on people. We all saw the Bertuzzi-Marchand exchange going on constantly in that first round. And Marchand rarely crossed the line. There was only once when he kind of lost it. And now I'm looking forward to seeing how they both respond to one another and to the other teams in this second round. I think those two guys are going to be the focal point of the series. Not to mention the fact that both teams have probably the two best goalies that are still alive in the playoffs.
Oh.
Well, yeah, can you get into that a little bit more, too? But I also am looking forward to this. I wish, as a fan, that I understand there'd have to be a tape delay. I understand there'd have to be some beeping in there, some beeps over some of the four-letter friend-getters and the cuss words being thrown around. But I would love to hear the chirping and what's going back and forth between Marchand and Tkachuk. And one's going to try to bait the other, then they're going to back off, and one's going to try to get into it or think he's going to try to make you believe he's going to get into it, but then he's not going to say anything, and you're just going to be chirping at him, but he's not going to be responding, which is making make you wonder, why am I chirping and he's not chirping? And the mind games is going to be the game within the game between those two is going to be brilliant. I would love to have them mic'd, but I understand why they're not.
It's going to make that Kevin Stevens and Brian Trottier chirp to Brian Bellows. That's an all-time classic. Oh, look like...
That is a classic. I love that reference. That's a beauty. Too bad you can't play that for the listeners. But
can you get our listeners the Coles notes on that one?
Encourage them all to go listen to it.
Can you give us the Sesame Street clean version, that at all?
Well,
no?
We can't even put it, I don't think, on our Sports Cage socials. But yeah, no, I love the chirp.
Basically, they wanted Bellows to know that he was their hero. That's basically the crux of it. You're my hero. You're a hero. Yeah, buddy. It's a whole lot more colorful and pointed and cutting than that.
So good. Okay, you were up, and I found out that this must be a Calgary thing where they talk about it as the world's biggest trailer park. Edmonton, your boots on the ground with your son last week as they wrap things up against Los Angeles. Obviously an impressive hockey team into Vancouver. The curious thing is just... And, anyone know why? Is there a reason, or was it just how it shook down that they're not playing until Wednesday? Is there like the circus in town somewhere or something like that? Gino Vannelli concert?
Well, they want to alternate. You know, it's for the NHL, it's for the all the four series. They want to alternate them and all that. And there must be a building thing. I haven't heard the ins and outs of exactly why they starting so late, but you know. I think that's going to be, you're going to get that one crammed down your throat by Hockey Night in Canada. They're going to go nuts on that one. Two Canadian teams, you know, two pretty good fan bases. I think it's going to be fantastic drama. It's funny, the start of the season, when Vancouver started like a house on fire and Edmonton, you know, had that shocking, you know, slow start, who would have thought that now that the narrative would be that, like, I actually think Edmonton is a massive favorite in this series. I hear a lot of people say they think it'll be a really close series, and I hope they're right. But I actually think Edmonton's a massive, massive, you know, favorite to win this thing. They were the best team in the National Hockey League for the last 2-3 months, and Vancouver wasn't, not even close. Like, they were, you know, right in the middle of the pack. So I don't know about you guys, but momentum counts to me. And the momentum that the Oilers built all through the second half of the series season, plus they've got, you know, so many superstars. I don't know. Do you guys see it anyway? Do you think Vancouver has much of a chance, especially without Demko? I don't see it happening.
You know what? I think that just watching the team, the Oilers, obviously play and how successful they are on the ice. I mean, yes, like you said, probably – the best team in the National Hockey League on a roll at the end of the year, just carry that into the postseason as well, too. But just the body language, just the demeanor. I know that Connor McDavid isn't a goofy guy out there smiling and joking all the time. I don't know. It just seems like he and his all-business kind of attitude and look and body language has just gone right into the whole team. The whole team, I think, is not getting too high on any of this just yet because they know it's step one of many to get to where we want to be, and we're not going to be happy until we get to the end. And I also wanted to check in on a quick one here as well, too, is that another good reference there by Shink. Gino Vannelli, I know if you're hanging out with Alice Cooper, once again, buck up. Francis needs his money from 10 years ago, 25 large.
On the Vancouver thing that Eric asked, again, I'm not an Oilers guy. I'm not a Canucks guy. I really hope the Canucks can make a series out of this. And the X factor I find could be Rick Tocchet. Like, you think about Rick Tocchet, how bad he would want to suit up to play in this series. And I don't know. So, Eric, that's the thing I was going to ask you. When you saw it with your eyeballs, when you were there, the Oilers minus McDavid and Draisaitl, who else really impressed you maybe from their third, fourth lines?
Well, like third and fourth line, Dylan Holloway's a Calgary kid who's got lots of size and some pretty good speed and hands. Like, this kid was a stud with the Oil Kings, and you know, he's going to have a pretty good NHL career. Ryan McLeod impressed me as well with his speed and creativity. But, you know, outside of the third, fourth line, you know, like, Stuart Skinner, you know, at some point we got to start giving this guy credit for the season he had or the skill that he has. You know, he's an Edmonton kid. It's a great story. And everybody in the world says, well, I don't know. They're only going to go as far as Stuart Skinner can you know, get them. And I do agree with that mentality because I think, in short, all teams, if you don't have a goaltender, you don't have a chance. I think he's been so quietly really, really good, and that's a guy who impressed me a lot. And I just have to clarify because I feel really bad. You know, like, as an Albertan, we're all one. You know, I mean, we're all the same. And when I said last week that Edmonton was the world's largest trailer park, I misspoke. Like, what I meant to say was the world's largest industrial park. Industrial park. Oh. There's a subtle difference, right? And I felt bad because I thought that puts a bad name on trailer parks. It's the world's largest industrial park. It just never ends. You need anything done with sheet metal or anything like that, man. Edmonton is an amazing place to be. We should all be really proud of it. So I want to say something nice about Edmonton.
A lot of good concrete plants there too. Yeah, yeah, a good spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Landscaper's dream. All right, Eric. We'll catch up to you again Wednesday before the Oilers and Canucks. We'll see if there's anything new out of that series, and we'll talk to you again. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, boys. Hey, if Gino Vannelli's one of your listeners, tell him I'll play golf with him.
25 large, USD. That's all that Francis does.
Gino pressed. I could see. Pressed. I could see him. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.